But I tell you something I've learned. I shared with you in my message, but I didn't tell you who. Kathy probably would know who I'm talking about. But yeah, I can tell you. It's Kelly, right? That's his sister's name? Betty. I went to see Betty this week, and it was very good. Betty is a nice woman. I met her the first time, and we talked. You know, she told me a lot of great stories, bad stories as well. She was wide open. I loved it. But there's something she told me that stuck with me. I thought about it all week. I even told my kids, I shared it with Kendra. She said, you know what? At my age, I realize every day is my birthday. Now, she was giving me her perspective on life. But then this is what I came out with. It should be that way for all of us. It doesn't matter if you're 16, 13, 12, 10, 34, 36, 43, 44, 55. The moment you realize life is a gift that is handing out to you on a daily basis. So the gift of life, you know, Miles Monroe said it. He said, life is not a gift to waste, but it is God's investment in you to make an impact. So I was thinking about that all week. I'm like, man, you know what? Because of God's grace that's new today, I have a brand new opportunity. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about. Guys, how many people have so much time to maintain on regrets, on things in the past, on the way maybe they wish things should have been, but things are not. And therefore, that makes them miserable. You know, a miserable person will make everybody miserable around them. You know, when somebody is causing you, is creating misery around you, don't quick to judge them. Maybe go a little deeper. That person might be miserable. They might have a miserable life. But you and I, God gives us a great opportunity every day because His grace, His mercy, renewed every day. You know, I know when you are older, I remember when 50 years old was like, man, like you guys right now, you're probably thinking, 43, man, that's old because you're only 16. I was there. I remember when 30, somebody says they're 30 years old or 50 years old, you're like, man, this guy's gonna die. But I tell you, man, a 50 years old is just a teenager. He's just blooming, right? Just blooming. Because I'm only 7 years away from being 50. All right? That's right, man. You know, but it is so true. As the older you get, the more you realize, man, life is short. And we don't have much time. You know, Captain said it earlier. The church is a place where we do life. You know, and today I want to take this time to talk to you about persevering in fraternal communion. Persévérer dans la communion fraternelle. All right, this is a message I preached a year and a half ago. I mean, actually 2.5 years ago. Because we're resuming our cell group. And I realized, you know what? It doesn't matter. And I know this message, it's going to be online on YouTube. There's a lot of people that are going to take advantage of it. Persevering in fraternal communion. Fraternal communion is one of the four great pillars of Christian practice, along with reading your Bible, praying, and witnessing. So when there's one thing they teach you in Bible school, the four pillars of the gospel of Christianity. the four columns. It's like the foundation of Christianity. The first one is they dwell. It's in Acts chapter 2. My verse, my key verse today is Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Let's read it. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, they joined with the believers and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Number one, the first pillar is they devoted themselves in the apostles' teaching. Now, you all understand the word devote. When you are devoted to somebody, to something, you're loyal. I mean, you give your time to it. I know there are people that are devoted to video game. I mean, what am I devoted? I'm devoted to God. I'm devoted to worship. I love worship. I can grab a guitar and a keyboard. I can sing for 3 hours. Some people can't do that. But I'm passionate. Some people can play video game for, they're devoted. There's nothing wrong about it unless it's dominating you. There's no self-control. I've tried playing video game, but I don't have the patience. It's like I want to win so bad, I lose. You know? I see those guys, they're doing the, I see Ryan playing soccer, playing, you know. Some people, they're so devoted to do the wrong thing. But here, in the Bible, it says the disciples, the first disciples, they were devoted. It's a choice. You know, and my question for us this morning is, what are you devoted to, right? Is that how you ask it? What are you devoted to? What is your devotion? Yeah, I'm not talking about doing devotion in your Bible. It says here they devoted their time. They joined with other believers. They love fellowship. They love spending time together. I remember I grew up in the church. Thank God for my mother. She dragged us in church whether we wanted or not. And then she would, I tell you, man, I love it. I remember, it's like, sometimes they've got a consecration, they call it consecration prayer. And, you know, she is a woman of faith. And she would kneel down to pray. And I remember seeing my mom. She was just, I mean, she, of course, her life was, her relationship with my father wasn't great, so she would always suffer with that. Maybe she had other issues. But I remember seeing her always crying when she prays. I remember she would always be crying, you know? And then us kids, we were just sitting around, and then she looked at us. She's like, on your knees. And then, of course, us little kids, we got on our knees, and I don't know what I prayed, but I prayed. Grew up in the church until 1996. I went to the ministry school directed by Lloyd Smoker. The first time I start reading the Bible. I grew up in the church. I was part of the youth group. As a matter of fact, I was very influential at church growing up when I was a teenager. Because I played. I mean, everybody knew me. I played the guitar. I would sing. I think I had a good voice, and everybody wanted me to sing, especially at their wedding. So yeah, a lot of the young people at church that were getting married, guess who was on the list to do a solo? And I had no problem because I loved it. Man, I'd sing, and people would come to me afterward, and they wanted me to sing at their wedding next month or next year. I loved it. So everybody know me. Youth group, we had talent shows all the time. And talent shows, I won a couple of them. Yeah. I sing. I played. I wasn't much of a dancer, but man, I know I could do something on the guitar. 1996, I went to the Bible school. I started reading the Bible. What did I say? I grew up in the church. I was even, I got baptized in water on April 30th, 1994. In 1996, I start reading the Bible the first time. You see, my mom, she took me to church. My mom took me to prayer meetings. But the discipline of reading the Bible, of feeding myself spiritually, we didn't have that. So it was all ritual, going to church. Do you know people can go to church and do not have a relationship with Jesus? A lot of people can go. That's why you kids, I'm talking to you, my beloved children. I love you so much. Fall in love with your Bibles. Read your Bibles. When you come to church, I'm challenging you, my beloved children. Worship the Lord because He's good. You know, when you read the Bible, you won't take my word for it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. When you read your Bible, the Jesus we're talking about is not going to be your mom and dad's Jesus or your grandparents or your uncle's Jesus. He's going to be your personal Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. See, that's what happened to me. So I remember, I start reading Matthew. Bang. First 5, 6, 7 chapters. My eyes open. I realize, man, I'm not a believer. I read the Bible the first time in my life. I was 17. I grew up in the church. I knew nothing else besides going to church. I loved it, and I thank God for that. For that. But I remember that personal encounter I had with Jesus in 1990, July 1996. That's when I realized, oh, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. If I don't repent, this is the consequence. And then I give my life to Christ. But then, I was always a very relational kind of dude. I love people. I do. I love you. I don't do... What's the word now? Shut down? What's the word? Isolation. I don't do isolation. I don't like it. Plus, I can't do it. I got to find you. You remember during the quarantine, I went to visit some of you. I stand in your lawn. I can't do that. And Kendra, we're the same. We love people. You know, when you guys came, I don't know, we're gonna do another open house. Because I really loved it when you came to my house. Second open house is coming up because we love to see people. I love to see you. I love to see you at my house. I love to see you I love to go in your cell group. I love to do life together. That's what Christ came for. Christ didn't come to preach a bunch of people. No, He came and chose 12 scumbags. And we know when we say scumbags, those guys, they were really rejected ones. No qualifications. A bunch of crooks, most of them. A tax collector. Oh, man, if you do a study on a tax collector during Jesus' time, you're like, Jesus, what were you thinking to pick Matthew as one of your disciples? But He said it well. He said, I didn't come for the righteous. I did not come for somebody that is already good. I came for the sick. I came for somebody that knows that they need a Savior. So, give my life to the Lord. And then, do I have that picture? Do you have my picture on here? I have a picture. Put it on the screen for me, please. You see this? How many people you think? How many hands? 4. How many people do you think? That's 4 people. They say if you need to carry someone with 4 people and you have nothing else to carry them, that person, this is the best way to do it. This is the best thing to do. I mean, nowadays, on any other circumstance, I would get us to break into the group of 4 so we can do it, but we're not going to do it today. But try it at home. Find 4 people, you, your wife, and your children or whatever, and try to do it. You can use your left hand or your right hand. This tells you I'm going to be talking about this for the next couple of weeks. How to preserve the fraternal communion. How to persevering in it. How to keep it. Keep close. Because we do need each other. My little strength with your little strength. And her little strength. And his little strength. Makes big strength. I might not be able to lift him up. But if the four of us come together and put our weak little arm together, I bet you we will do it. So, to continue with my testimony and story, during our ministry school, Lloyd organized a mission trip. Remember, I told you I grew up in the church, but I never experienced my pastor or I never experienced community. So we went to the next town about 3 hours north called St. Mark. And we actually was just talking about that this week. We went there with Lloyd. It was a little car. But in Haiti, there's always room for more, for one more. And if you go on Facebook, check out my motorcycle collection. Did you see? I put something on Facebook. A guy carrying a mattress on a motorcycle while waving in and out of traffic, almost hitting people. A motorcycle. I mean, there's always room, that's the fault of the government. That's also a reality that reflects when you live in a place where there is. Everybody does everything they want. There's no law and orders. So we went to St. Mark in a little Suzuki, and I think there was at least 17 of us. But I tell you, man, it was good. Good fellowship. We were very skinny. Very skinny. we were very skinny. I remember we went there. We spent about 3 days. The first time I had crabs. I love crabs, and there's something else they call lalo in Haiti. It's got kind of a green leafy kind of vegetable. Man, I loved it. I was eating, but I love the fellowship. The first time I was part of what you call a fraternal communion. I was part of a community. I was part of a family. Now I grew up in a small family. But my family, we didn't have really good relationship because, especially when my dad was around, everybody he was so strict, everybody was afraid to play. I remember when he wasn't around, yeah, sure, we kids had fun, but we did not grow up in a culture, in an environment where it was just like, you know, you're a kid, you're having fun. You're having fun with your brothers. I started having fun with my brothers after I got married, inviting them at home. We play Monopoly and we fight all over Monopoly. Nobody wants to trade. You know? Nobody wants to trade. It's like, man, it almost became violent. It's like, man, we're not trading and we got mad. That's the real deal playing, you know, Monopoly. My brothers. There's four of us. That's when we started playing. So after that mission trip, I realized, okay, they dropped me off. They dropped me off at home. And I walked in my house. And I sense I'm lost. Because I just spent about 4 or 5 days in a community where I felt I belong. So I went back to Lloyd's house. I'm like, man, guys, I've experienced something. And you see, that's what people... Even people that left the church, I know a great friend of mine. I actually know a couple of them that don't want to go to church because they've got hurt. They've gotten hurt. People in the church are so hypocrites. They backstabbing. They talk bad about each other. They're not honest. They're not loyal. See, you cannot have that in a community. If you want to keep a safe community. If you want to live in a safe community, you got to follow this.
And let's go back to it. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The four pillars of the gospel. What is it? Today, you can learn that. Acts chapter 2, the first one, they were devoted in the teaching of the apostles. They give themselves in the teaching, in teaching. So if I am calling, the first one, remember, first one is what? They were devoted in teaching. So they give themselves in for Bible study. In our nowadays you say Bible study. If I would call for a Bible study, would you have time? Would you sacrifice your time for a Bible study? I don't know. I hope so. I mean, just imagine it today if Becky and Tony did all this preparation since yesterday, they're working at it, and they made an invitation and none of us come. You know how devastating that would be? That wouldn't be nice. She prepared. They prepared. So what we have to do? We have to go hungry and celebrate them. It's the same thing. The apostles, not only they give their time to learn and listen from the Lord, to teach the word of the Lord, but also the people devoted themselves to the teaching. You understand that? Yes, you do. They give their time to it. Yes, of course you got to go to work. But if there's a Bible study, you go to the Bible study. Of course you're going to feel tired. But you devote yourself. Now, I'm not talking about the Bible study. My point today is a home group. But I want to teach you on, I want you to know the five pillars. They devote, the apostles' teaching, reading the Bible. You devote yourself to read the Bible. Just like you eat lunch, breakfast, dinner, which is too much for some people. Because really, most of us, we don't need that much food. Unless you eat it in small portion. Do you know that eating too much is not good for you also? It's not. They devoted themselves in prayer. Oh my goodness. That's another prayer. One of the weaknesses of the church is they don't pray. People don't pray. I tell you, praying is not, oh God, thank you Jesus for helping me today. Thank you for Lord for giving me a good night. Amen. Where's my coffee? Jesus said, there's a story in the Bible. They brought a demon possessed to the disciples. They couldn't cast it out. After many trials, they couldn't. And then Jesus showed up. And then the father came. Jesus, please, if you could, please, could you do something? Jesus says, hey, if I can, anything is possible to those who believe. And then Jesus cast out the evil spirit. And the boy was fine. And then the disciples later on asked the Lord, he said, Lord, how come we couldn't cast it? And Jesus said, there are certain things in your life. There are certain breakthrough for you to find it, to get to it. You need more than prayer. You need fasting. You need discipline. You see, and nowadays, that's one of the problems in the church. That's why the prayer room is empty. People, they lost the value. You remember revival when we were growing up? Revival meeting? Billy Graham? You know, I don't know if revival is going to come back that way. God is bringing revival. There is revival in the world happening right now. But maybe revival won't be like this place is going to overflow with people. Maybe not. But all of us needs to understand, fraternal communion goes beyond a simple cordial exchange. Hi, brother, how you doing? But it's exposing yourself, putting yourself out there. And there's no better place to do that than a home group. I encourage all of us here, and even some of, I'm talking about it. I want to talk to my leadership team, but maybe you guys are going to hear it today. But it's just, I'm thinking, all right? Commitment. I said it a couple weeks ago. I'm committed to you. Even the whole COVID thing, I understand some of us, we still got to do what we got to do. But we can't be afraid to not coming back from church. You know, if you're watching online and Lynchtown is your church, I'll invite you to come back. That's what you got to call our people to come back. If this is your church, let's do church. Let's be part in cell group. Let's come together and worship the Lord. I want to know, listen, in the next coming months, I'm going to do a commitment membership. I am going to. I know all of you are here that are, you always, I know everybody that's committed. But I want a verbal commitment. I want something. Because I'm committed. I want to know. It's like, okay, some people, they're still out there. I don't know if they're coming back. You know, or I say, are you coming back? I'm not sure. Yeah, well, if you're not sure, let's communicate. Does that make sense? Let's communicate. If you're like, you know what, I know some of the people, they've got some kids, understand. I support them. I am with them, you know, but let's communicate. I want to know where you stand. I want to know where you stand so we as a family can support where you stand. We want relationship. That's the kind of church we are. We are a kingdom-minded church. Jesus came for a relationship. Jesus didn't come to lord it over the disciples. He came to have friendship with them. And I tell you, that's what people don't want. They don't want friendship. People don't want friendship. They don't want relationship. Everybody wants to do personal life. Man, I read a story this week. The story, actually, this is the first time I read the story about, let me see if I find the guy's name. What's his name again? Hang on, I wrote it down. Robinson Crusoe? What's his name? Yeah, he was trying to do it by himself. You cannot serve God like Crusoe. Hang on, I gotta find, I wrote it down somewhere here. Hang on, where is it at? Yeah, Robinson Crusoe. That's his name. That's a good story. I encourage you to go read it. I read it. I just started reading a little bit about it, and I realized, oh, man, this dude. I mean, he came out all right, but you cannot serve Christ. It is inconceivable from a biblical perspective to leave your faith alone in a corner. Don't try to leave your faith alone. We need each other. We got to pray together. You will never have time for home group. You will never have time for cell group. You'll always be tired. There's always going to be time, things to do. But you have to devote yourself. You got to make it a priority. Whatever is a priority to me, I do have time. I find time for it. I don't know for you. I don't know about you, but I see it works the way, that's the way it works in my life. The things I want to do, I always find time for it. I never have any excuse to do something I want to do. But if I, you know, if I don't want to do it, there's always an excuse. If I want to read my Bible, I tell you something. Jesus set a great example. Jesus was the busiest dude that ever existed. First of all, he knew he only had 3 years. Nobody else knew it, but he knew his time on earth was very short. So Jesus was busy, very busy. And then you know what he does? Sometimes everybody would crash on him, like going to sleep around midnight, 12:30, 1 o'clock. The Bible says Jesus took a nap, and woke up very early in the morning and go up in the mountain where he could be alone with the Father. Because he knew what he came to do on earth, his personal relationship and intimacy with the Lord, he had to cultivate that. He knew he had to be dwelling in the presence, in the bosom of the Father. He needed to hear from the Father so he could minister to the people for the rest of the day. So Jesus gave us a good example. No matter how busy you are, if you love the Lord enough, you will always have time to read your Bible. You will always have time to be in worship. Just like we always have time to eat. Do you know it's not good for you to be eating on the run? Grab a Big Mac and go for it. My wife taught me that. Because I used to do that. I used to eat on the wall. Even when you sit around to eat, and if you don't shut a lot of other things down to enjoy your food, your digesting system don't work properly. Right, honey? I didn't know that. She's doing her research and she's teaching me. And I realized, you know what? Yeah, eating on the go is not good for you physically. What do we do? That's all we do. We eat on the go. So we want to pray on the go. We want to have a prayer drive-through. And we're looking, where's the power? We're talking about, where's the power that's saved? Where's the anointing? That's what we're looking at. People are asking, where's the anointing? Where's the thing that makes us so different from the world? Where is it? We don't see it. Why? Because we don't take time to dwell in the presence of God. We don't take time to dwell in the Word of God. Preserving the communion, not only with one another, but also with God. And I realize Jesus, it says in the Bible, he says, he who believes in me, Jesus always says, he who believes in me will have eternal life, all right? So when you read the Bible, you see the phrase from I to we. Then when Jesus was teaching us how to pray, the disciples how to pray, he said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father, not my Father. But yeah, he is my Father, but he's making emphasis on us coming together, praying together. He says, when you pray, go in your room. There's another verse. When you pray, go in your room. Go in your room is putting emphasis on intimacy. You see, in your room, this is the place to be intimate with the Father. In your room, meaning there's no distraction. In your room, meaning, you know, I've heard a preacher last week. He said, man, I took notes and I started doing it. Sometimes I come here once a week. I come here early. In the morning, I come like 7:30, 8 o'clock, and then I turn my phone off because my phone is my work, my computer. I don't physically work, but I mentally work. I work with emails and phone calls and Bibles and studies. That's what I do. But then I've got a lot going on. I'm always constantly getting emails, phone calls. But you know what? I got to put myself in a discipline where sometimes the best place to be, to do, the best thing to do is to turn my phone off. And my wife can tell you about that, more details. Something she hates when we have date night on Tuesday. Date night. I go home at 4. It's like, it doesn't matter what we do, but then Tuesday evening is date night, and she doesn't want divided attention from me. I'm like, honey, but it's just text. I got to answer. You know the worst thing that can happen to me? She get mad. Then I blew date night. And I agree with her. She says it's just 4 hours, 3 hours. Those 3 hours, I don't want a phone between us. And God's saying the same thing. It's just a little, and I tell you, those date night, we always together. We do life together. But then that the date night give us a special focus, special attention. We talk about it, and she's like, oh, how you doing? How am I doing? How you doing? You know, we talk. We intentional. This is it. The Lord wants the same thing with you and I. Undivided attention. So don't try to do life by yourself. Don't try to live through your struggles by yourself. That's why I think it's very important for us. And I'm challenging you today as I invite the worship team to do our last song. And I'll pray for our food. That's what we do. It's a challenge. Preserving the fraternal communion. Please find a home group. That's why we're not, I thank God for our cell leaders, we're not selecting people. I'm leading a cell. Janet's leading a cell. Other people are leading a cell. Kathy is leading a cell. Bernie's leading a cell. We are a cell-based church. You know, I understand you might say, well, you don't need it. Well, then that's fine. You know, I'm actually thinking a lot of other things. But let me finish with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to act of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do. Let us not do that. Don't neglect meeting together. Don't neglect praying. Don't neglect the teaching of the apostles. But encourage one another. And that's what I'm doing today. I'm encouraging you. Persevere in fraternal communion. Persevere in Bible readings. Persevere in prayer. Especially now. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, encourage one another, especially now. Especially now that the day of the Lord, of the return of the Lord, is drawing near. Especially now. Persevere. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we have ears to ear, to hear, and understanding to comprehend your word. Father, we ask that you would forgive us for all the times that we just allow what we call a lack of discipline crept in our lives to keep us away from communion, fraternal communion. So, Father, we thank you for your word and thank you for the work that you'll be doing in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.